Praise the Lord, everybody.
How nice to be in God's house tonight. Amen. I know the COVID was affecting a lot of churches, and I guess one thing that disturbed me the most, number one, is that, it was hindering church services, but sometimes even more was the fear that I felt among a lot of apostolic people. I mean, true fear. And the Bible says fear hath torment. And I've been in churches that they still have me preach, but they said, Brother Mackey, don't open up the altar. You know, and I thought, man, I think that would be one of the safest places to be. But, you know, but Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And I think it's, because at the close of this message, we're going to open up this altar. And, I pray that, you would, if you don't want to come to the altar, that's fine. But I just encourage you to do that. I think when you honor God, he will honor you. And I heard this little joke where the wife was knocking on the front door. And the husband said, you can't come in. And she said, how long is this social distancing going to last? Don't be distanced from God. Okay? Yeah. Don't be distanced from God. And the fact we've been, kept from the house of God so long, I always felt every apostolic church would have a three-week revival as soon as they can and make up for lost time here. And do you know how many suffers we missed? How many messages we missed? How many things God wanted to tell us? But so I commend you for being in God's house tonight. I really do. I was preaching for a little church up in Mountain, Wisconsin. There's about 871 people in that town, if that, and 9 taverns, And I'm preaching for this little home missionary who has just maybe 6 or 7 people. And it was amazing because when we just driving to church, every tavern's parking lot was full. And that bothered me a little bit, And I know we got to be careful and not tempt the Lord our God and be foolish. But I still was thinking, Lord, and we need to understand that this was not just a persecution on the church. Someone said, Brother Mackey, do you think it's from the devil or what? I thought, well, I don't know, but I think it's from China for sure, I mean, I don't spiritualize everything, but at the same time, but it hasn't just affected the church. It's affected the movie theaters, the restaurants and businesses but I just pray that God will just take it all away. And whether the vaccine will do it or not, I don't know. But I'm just glad that I'm on the Lord's side. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? I appreciate that, brother. I don't. Monday. Okay. I do not want to mispronounce it. Beautiful song. But beautiful words, everybody. Amen. Because we would not be here without the cross. You understand that, right? Some people preach Christ, but Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Because there would be no salvation without the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I like some of the songs we sang tonight. It kind of lets me know what God put on my heart to preach is in the will of God here tonight. All right? So I love and appreciate First Apostolic Church. I love and appreciate Brother and Sister Schumacher, their consistency in the doctrine, of the death, burial, and resurrection. Thank God for repentance. Baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. Receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. All right, let's open up our Bibles to the first epistle of John while we stand one more moment. First epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 12. The first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 12. I write unto little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let's pray, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. And God, thank you that we can be in your house tonight. Jesus, help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it. God, let something happen in the depths of our hearts, souls, minds, attitudes, and lifestyles, I pray, for your glory and honor and the work of the kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. I think we can safely say, according to the first epistle of John, chapter 2, when Paul writes about the little children, the fathers, and the young men, that there would be three spiritual classifications in the church. And for the church to be healthy and what God wants it to be, I think these three classifications and groups of people should always be present. Now, these groups have no reference to biological age or natural age, but it does make reference to their spiritual development and growth in God. I have written unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. These are the brand new converts in the church. The one thing they know is that their sins are forgiven. Their sins are forgiven. It's always exciting when a baby is born naturally. I'm now in my 47th year as a full-time evangelist, and there's been two or three times, right while I'm preaching, a man jumps up and runs out the back with his wife's purse, and she was right after him, and she's got a maternity dress on. And the baby, there was a new baby born by the next morning, you know. So, you know, you can start labor pains in the house of God, you know. And I was at one church. I was there for 4 weeks for a revival. But the week before I arrived, a woman in the church gave birth to triplets. Triplets. So, of course, it takes time for the triplets to get a little bit of strength. And so it's now the last week of revival. And they weren't talking about revival. They were saying, Sister so-and-so's bringing the triplets to church this week. And boy, it's time to start service. How many babies have we seen? They all got two eyes, two ears, and a nose and a mouth, you know. I mean, come on. But there's just something exciting when a baby is born naturally. But it's really exciting when a baby is born spiritually. Hallelujah. They're born again of water and spirit. They've repented, they're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I go to some churches, and here comes the pastor with a man. He said, Brother Mackey, here's our new baby. You know, 40-year-old babies, 30-year-old babies, 96-year-old babies, you know. It's so exciting when a baby is born spiritually. And that's the challenge of even being a home missions pastor, is because when a man starts a church, you know, there might be a couple families there that have been in their church, but everyone that comes in is a brand new born again baby. And, you know, babies have to learn how to walk. They're asking questions all the time. We say no quite a bit, but The one thing they know is that their sins are forgiven. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. The word known means you are deeply acquainted with God. In other words, you've been living for God now. You're mature in the things of the Spirit, and you are deeply acquainted with him. That is from the beginning. Every church needs fathers. We need mature individuals in the church. You know, for all you parents, aren't you glad that your baby gets out of diapers and they get potty trained and, you know, and they learn how to walk? That's all right. So I write unto you, young men, all right, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, the wicked one is not Putin over in Russia, okay? The wicked one is Satan, the enemy of your soul, all right? The wicked one, all right, you have, not there's a good chance, but you actually have overcome the wicked one. You know, this to me speaks victory to me. It does. All right. Then it says, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. All right. Now, again, the word Father here has a capital F, which refers to God. But because you have known the Father, it's different from the known of the fathers. It means you are just now getting acquainted with God. Verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. You are really acquainted with God. And I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, not weak, strong, not carnal, strong, not worldly, strong, not backslidden, strong. All right. And the word of God abideth in you. All right. And you have overcome the wicked one. Now, it is tragic when naturally, because a baby was born with a missing chromosome, you know, or there's something that really hinders, you know, mental development, physical development. It's very sad. It is sad to see a young man in a 15-year-old body with the mind of a 5-year-old. That is tragic, naturally. But what is really tragic spiritually is when individuals never develop and they never grow, they never mature, they never reach the place they have overcome the wicked one and the word of God abides in them. And that they would become a father, amen, and there's something stable and steadfast about their whole life and their whole spirit and their whole attitude. And individuals can look to them and say, you know, he's made it this far, I can make it this far. All right. And someone could be in the young man category and the father category at the same time. Again, not as it has no reference to natural age, but to your spiritual development, to the spiritual development. But the reason the young man is strong is because the word of God abideth in him. Now let's look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Have you ever seen a picture of a baby bird? I don't care if it's a baby sparrow, a baby eagle, or a baby robin. Every time you see a picture, they're like this. Their mouths are open. They're hungry. They just want to be fed. You know, I can go to a church and spot the new converts because they're sitting out there like this. You know what I like about new converts? Every preacher is a good preacher. Yeah, they just like preaching. You know, here's a new convert. Well, we're going to have a rally. What's that? Well, there's another church 80 miles down the road, and they're going to get together, and the new converts, the newborn babes, says, you mean I can go to church again? Let's go. But now you can tell when you're getting grown up a little bit. We're going to have a revival. Oh, yeah, who's preaching? Yeah? I don't like the way he hits the pulpit after every third sentence, you know. No, folks. You know, listen, I am now a great-grandfather, by the way. Okay. All right. That's okay. And I have pictures if you want to see him after church. But he's 9 months old now. So every time my granddaughter brings him up and I just take time with Harrison, because now I'm Gigi, great grandpa. You know, when I give a Christmas present and I sign a Gigi, everyone knows who that is. I want his first words to be Gigi. But I say that. But listen, it's amazing how hungry he is. He's always eating. My granddaughter comes up and they have all these special foods for babies. I don't know how pioneer women did it, really. I mean, they have all these little squeeze things full of vitamins and nutrients, and they're all flavored raspberry and banana and everything. It's just amazing. But I cannot believe how much he's grown in 9 months. He's just, I know I sound like a great grandfather, but he's just solid and he's a chunk, and man, it's like carrying 40 pounds of potatoes or something, you know. But he's growing because he's eating. And what causes a new convert to grow from birth to 2 years old in Jesus Christ will cause you to continually grow till the very day that Jesus Christ comes. Don't ever lose your desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God. They are strong because the Word of God abides in them. Now, Jesus is our example in everything. Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He has been fasting for 40 days. And here comes the wicked one. He says, if you're really the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Now, that's how the Bible says it. But, you know, Satan really enhances his temptations. I think he said, you know, here's Jesus, 40 days he's been fasting. Satan comes and says, if you're really the Son of God, command these stones that they be made yeast-raised, butter-basted, golden brown bread. And can you just feel the saliva curl in the corners of your mouth? What is it about fresh-made bread? Jesus did not use psychology on the devil. You know, He said, it is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus is our example. So the wicked one flees and he comes back again. And he says, cast yourself off the pinnacle of this temple and the angels will protect you. And again, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The wicked one leaves and comes back again. Listen, everybody, from the very day Jesus comes, he's going to come back again and again and again and again. He wants to destroy your soul. Listen, he doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to go to hell. And then he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He says, bow down and worship me, and this is what I'm going to give you. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus is our example to let us know, if you want some strength, you need to have the Word of God abiding in you. The Word of God needs to be a part of your life. Now let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 13, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, not weak, strong. It's actually saying, watch ye, be alert and on your guard, on your guard. This is not time to fall asleep, everybody. It's time to be on guard. Stand fast in the faith. In other words, stand firm in your faith. All right? Quit ye like men, which simply is saying, act like a man. Be a man. Be courageous. All right? And then he said, be strong. It means constantly grow in strength. You should be stronger in the Lord tonight than you were the night you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You should grow in strength. So the young man is strong. The Word of God abides in him, and he has overcome the wicked one. Now, let's look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I don't know, I just get the idea God wants us to be strong. All right. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The real mark of real spiritual growth and development is that, yes, you are still being taught, but now you are teaching others. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So the young man is strong. We are told to be strong and grow in strength. And now it says to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. An interesting thing happened in 1991 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And for the first time, women were handing their little babies to the dad because they were going off to war. You know? And suddenly individuals that were part-time in the National Guard were now being called into battle. And I remember reading in Time magazine, they were interviewing some of these women, interviewing some of these men, you know. And this one woman said, when I enlisted, I never really thought I'd have to go to war. I just wanted my college education paid for when I got out. This one man in the National Guard said, man, when I signed up for this, I never thought I was really going to have to battle. I just wanted a good interest rate on my mortgage payment. I didn't really want to fight, but I want everyone here to know, I fear sometimes that the Apostolic Church has lost their soldier mentality. We sing songs, I am a friend of God, I am a friend of, yeah, okay. But I like the songs we are singing tonight, be strong. Before, are you ready? Let's take the land and let's take a stand. Folks, it takes strength to take the land and it takes strength to take a stand. No, I didn't want to fight. I just wanted a good interest rate on my mortgage. So as a result, that happens in the modern day church. People come in here and and then someone by the name of Brother Mackey gets up here and preaches and says, let's go to war. They say, well, I didn't really want a battle. I just wanted my cancer healed. I just wanted my alcohol taken away. I just wanted my marriage repaired. But I want everyone here to know from the moment you repent of your sins and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you receive the Holy Ghost, you got a battle on your hand and the devil's coming against you. Listen, he's not trying to hinder the people in the taverns and the bars. Folks, I don't know what he speaks to you before you come to church on Sunday morning. I don't know what kind of argument you have with your spouse before you a little, upsetness before you come to church Sunday night. Folks, from the moment you are born again, you are in a battle. And the devil's a dirty fighter. He hits below the belt. I mean, he really does. Folks, he's a ruthless. Listen, he wants to destroy you. So you have a battle on your hands. I mean, I've been raised in this. I used to, every month when I was a young boy, we used to sing, Onward Christian soldiers marching off to war. And we sing that today. Soldiers, war, what? I mean, what's going on here? That's why it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Good, yes. We're a good saint, we're a good tithe payer, but I want to be a good soldier. No man that warreth, let's all say warreth. Warreth. Sometimes in our apostolic churches, we runneth, we jumpeth, we danceth, we clappeth, we speaketh. And you can do all of that and never warreth. never warreth. Sometimes I think our church services can be a little bit like when the mob comes to take Jesus, to crucify him. Old Peter, boy, he just takes a sword and I think he was trying to hack off the man's head, but he just hacked off his ear. Jesus picked up the ear and put it on the man's head and healed him. I can see Jesus going, yep, good job, Peter, good job. But now they take Jesus away. Now, a few hours later, Peter's standing by the fire, and he denies Jesus three times. He even cursed and took an oath, because we can do a lot of things right here when we're in the presence of Jesus. But when we're out there on the job and in the world, someone needs to have a soldier mentality. And listen, folks, we need to danceth, we need to jumpeth, we need to clappeth, we need to speaketh, we need to really worship God. But I'm telling you what, when we leave this building, we need to warreth continually for the kingdom of God. You warreth when you go to your place of business and you realize, I'm the only man, I'm the only woman in this whole place baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you go to your lunch hour, you have such a burden for the lost, you can't even eat your sandwich. You say, God, open up a door for me this afternoon that I can witness to someone and invite someone to church. You warreth when you're in the grocery store, ladies, and you realize, I'm the only woman here that knows that Jesus is God and that speaking in tongues, amen, is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And when you go home, you put your ice cream away right away. But even before you put the other groceries away, you got to get on your knees and say, God, I've never won anybody to you. Help me, God, amen, to be a soldier and to war just a little bit. You warreth when you get up 15 minutes earlier every day. Why? To pray for the lost. God, let me serve you today. You warreth when you give more money to the work of God. You warreth when you arrange your schedule to come to a church service. You warreth. When you have a burden for the lost. Oh, Jesus. No man that warreth, one translation says, is so entangled with civilian life. Oh, my education, my new house, this and this and this. And then suddenly the things, the kingdom of God is put on the back burner. No man that warreth. So is so concerned with the affairs of civilian life. Why? He wants to please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier mentality. Endure hardness. Hardness? No, I don't want hardness. I just enjoy in Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to enjoy Jesus. Folks, there's never been such a battle as there is in the political world. You talk about spiritual wickedness in high places. In fact, I'm just going to change course here for just a minute. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 12. In the first four verses, Jeremiah is talking to God and say, God, why are you letting the wicked take over like this? They're planted, they've taken root, they grow, they bring forth fruit. God, why are you letting this happen? But in verse 5, God answers Jeremiah. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how then canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And do you know what? Know what I think this COVID was? I think it's kind of running with the footmen a little bit. Folks, because this was not even a persecution on the church. It affected everybody. All right? And if that wearied us in our relationship with God and in working for God. I mean, if we just run with the footmen and we're tired and already weary, what are we going to do, folks? And right now we're in a land of peace. But what are we going to do, folks? Well, I mean, how can we contend with horses? What are we going to do when there really is a swelling of the Jordan? That is why if there was ever a time to be strong and let the word of God abide in you and understand that this isn't a battle. Folks, it's right now. Amen. January the 10th, 2021. Now, it would be insane and wrong for the United States government to call individuals into battle and not give them what they needed to win the war. Now, I was in Germany from 1980 to 1981 preaching on our military bases, and our enemy was the Soviet Union. I'll tell you, we were watching them through our binoculars. They were watching us through their binoculars. And you know what? We discovered that the Soviet Union, the Russians, have saved every nut, every bolt, every screw from every tank since World War I. All right? And their tanks outnumber our tanks 12 to 1. Our tanks are more technologically advanced, quicker. You know, we got, you know, just like your computer or your cell phone, it's all on the screen. But they said, if we ever get into a battle with the Russians, their tanks outnumber our tanks. So we developed the A-10 fighter plane, the Warthog. When I just lived a few miles from Ramstein Air Base, and all day long these little jets were just zipping over the hills, because on the out of the nose of the Warthog, the A-10 is a gun barrel in about a 6-inch diameter, and the whole purpose was to blow up tanks. That's the whole purpose of the A-10 fighter plane. And then we also gave our men, we developed a combat boot, because you know how difficult it is for you to walk or run if you have a stone in your shoe or sand in your shoe, how irritating it can be. They developed a combat boot that even when you're in sand, yes, the sand will come into the shoe, but it will filter right out, because we don't want anything to hinder you when you're in the battle. But it wasn't until, folks, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, all right, that his tanks are going across the desert. It's amazing. No trees, no foliage, no cover. That's the first time we used the A-10s and the Warthog. Folks, those tanks are like ducks sitting in a pond. Here comes the Warthog. Boom, 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 boom. Folks, after 2 days, as soon as they heard us coming, they jumped out of the tanks and surrendered, because it really worked. Because our government says, if we bring you into battle, we're going to give you what you need to win the war. Our God does the same thing. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 10. Verse 10 of Ephesians, chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I don't know. I just think God wants us to be strong. The young man is strong. Grow in strength. Be strong in the grace. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. Do you know what I've discovered? I pastored, I assisted, I sat under my father's ministry. I'm in churches. Brother Schumacher cannot put the armor on you. I can't put it on you right now. You got to put it on yourself. Hey, brethren, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Boy, if you don't understand this, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you, take it. Oh God, it's right here. Take the whole armor, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand. And then it gives this wonderful spiritual armor that God has given us. You know, Paul spent so much time in prison. Man, this Roman centurion is guarding him. And I can just see Paul looking at this soldier you know, from the top of his head all the way down to his feet. And he was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And he said, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins, the reproductive parts of the body. You know, we are begotten, again, of truth. That the word of God is the incorruptible seed. There's never a baby born without conception of seed, naturally. There's never someone born again without conception of the seed, spiritually. So what is being reproduced? Because we are in this world. Having your loins girt about with truth. Thank God for truth. Yeah. Buy the truth and never sell it. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, your heart, your lungs. Folks, I mean, you can get along without a kidney. You know what I'm saying? But no, you can't get along without your heart, everybody. Amen. You can't get along. And these lungs are so vital. Amen. We need to breathe. So therefore, the breastplate of righteousness, right living, pleasing God, folks, that covers the vital organs of our body. All right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, everywhere you walk, you should look behind where you've been walking, and you should see a little trail of gospel seed, you know, and you know that you've been laying behind you. Then it says in verse 17, I'll get back to 16 in a minute, 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation. All right, this is the helmet of hope. Listen, there can be a strong battle in your mind. In your mind. And I guess I feel safe enough here to say, folks, this last summer when I had no preaching schedule at all, and I forgot who said fatigue makes cowards of us all. But I was just weary with everything. They have all the riots and, you know, and they're burning businesses. You know, and it's, you know, and they have the Black Lives Matter program and Antifa and all these things. But I was praying and I must have been tired. Because right after I prayed what I prayed, I realized what I said and I kind of laughed and I said, God, forgive me. Because I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, all this is going on. And Lord, and I said, I really hope you have it under control. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because I know you got it under control. Hallelujah. He really does, folks. He does. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? Okay. He does. I said, God, forgive me now. So, Lord, I know you got it under control. But again, folks, the helmet of hope in God. That's why, yes, suicide is rampant in the world. But it's really sad when a child of God commits suicide because you can live 3 days, all right, you know, without water and 3 minutes without air, but you can't live at all without hope. Because when someone commits suicide, they're saying there's no hope. But no matter how bad it gets, the child of God needs to put on the helmet of salvation. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. All right. But it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Now, when I was younger, there was no Rubbermaid garbage cans. They were all metal garbage cans with metal garbage can covers. And when we were kids, we used to take those garbage can covers and we used to make a shield and we used to make a sword out of wood and we'd have sword fights with our friends. We never tried to hurt them. We just tried to break their sword or smash their shield. None of the garbage can covers ever fit because they'd been in too many battles. But the Roman legions, they had shields that went from the bottom of their chin to the tops of their knees. All right. They were 3 feet wide and they were, I don't know, 3 to 5 inches thick because the enemy, they had machines that the darts were 5 feet long. And they would be walking across the plains and they would send thousands of darts. And the Roman legions would just stand there and put up a ceiling of shields and the darts could not penetrate the shield. In 2021, you need a shield of faith bigger than a garbage can cover. You need a shield that comes from the bottom of your chin to the tops of your knees, because there are darts of discouragement, darts of failure, darts of rebellion. Hallelujah. Darts, amen, that the devil's going to throw to you. But I want you to know, folks, that the shield of faith can quench all the darts of the enemy. Yeah. And then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yep, the one aggressive weapon is the Word of God. The sword, which is the Word of God. Please note, there's not one piece of armor for the back. Because if you're in a battle and suddenly you turn and run, oh, man. But having done all to stand there. Listen, I want you to know, I don't know what kind of battle you're fighting mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But having done all to stand there for God, let me take the armor. Let me put it on. Let me put it on, because that's what Jesus did, you know. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. Because the enemy comes to him 40 days of fasting. If you read the Son of God, command these stones that they be made yeast raised, golden brown, butter basted bread. Jesus reaches for that sword. It is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yeah. Puts the sword away. Jesus, the wicked one comes back again. Come on, cast yourself off the pinnacle of this temple. Jesus said, he reaches for the sword. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Yep. Again, the wicked one comes back. Come on, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. He reaches for the sword. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil fled. Have you ever had a sword fight with the devil? The devil comes to you. God doesn't care where you are. God doesn't care. Yeah, I mean, he's forsaken you. You know. You got to reach for the sword. Just a minute, devil. Where's my concordance? Yeah, let me get my concordance here. Yeah. Here it is. It is written. God, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. The devil comes again. Yeah. He's warring on you. You got to reach for the sword. Oh, just a minute, devil. Brother Schumacher just preached on this. Where's my notes? Yeah, here it is. Ah, yes. He is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Yeah. And know what? It works. And after a while, you get skillful with the sword. I like that sound, actually. I don't know if that's how it sounds, but I like it. I don't care what it is, everybody. You need to be skillful in the word. There's more scriptures in the Bible other than Jesus wept. Okay? You understand that? The word of God abides in him. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Well, do you know what concerns me sometimes? Here is Joseph in Egypt. And Potiphar's wife comes and says, hey, Joseph, come to bed with me. Come on. Here's Joseph. No Holy Ghost, no blood of Jesus, no pastor, no evangelist, all right? No Bible, no young people's lock-ins, no pizza parties, no camp meetings.
And Joseph said, how can I sin against God? See, in this day and age, when there's sexual sin, people say, oh, what's the church going to say? What's the neighbors going to say? What's the relatives going to say? What's God going to say? Huh? How does that sound? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children. Yeah, when you hear the music, bow down to the image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No camp meetings, no youth retreats, no Holy Ghost, no Bible, no blood, no name. But when the music sounded, everyone bowed down but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire was so hot, the men that threw them in there died instantly. And then the Pharaoh looked in there and said, wow, the king. He said, man, there's a fourth man in the fire. Like unto the Son of God. Folks, when you're in the fire, there's someone else in there with you. Do you understand that? And boy, their ropes were burned off, and they're in there worshiping God. And do you know what? When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. You just start your barbecue grill and you smell like smoke, everybody. All right. You know what? They didn't bend. They didn't bow. And they didn't burn either. Don't bend, don't bow, and you won't burn. So here we are. Youth Congress, youth camp, youth retreats, revivals, seminars, music. Wow. And even the whole armor. And there are people that are inconsistent. They're really not strong. You know, they are getting a little bit weird. And I understand, folks, there's a battle out here. That is why, right now, that is why I got to drink some water here. Okay. A young man goes out to the football coach and says, listen, coach, I want to be your quarterback. I can throw that ball 40 yards on a clothesline. We're going to hit the guy in the numbers, and we're going to score some touchdowns. And the coach says, listen, we don't want to score any touchdowns. We just want to stop the other team from scoring touchdowns. But, coach, we got to win. We got to. No, don't worry about scoring touchdowns. We just want to stop the other team from scoring. We'll just play defense. A young man goes up for the basketball team. Folks, coach, honestly, you know those three-pointers? I can do it. We'll win some games. Put me on the team. No, listen, we just want to stop the other team from scoring points. We're going to play good defense. You know what Jesus said? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against it. In other words, the church should not be on the defense. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, we're carnal, we're getting cold, and people are leaving, and come quickly, we don't know. I just don't want God to come after a church like that. I want God to come after a church, hallelujah, that endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen, and they have on the whole armor of God, and they know how to use the sword of the Spirit. And the gates of hell, the gates of hell should not be coming against us. We ought to be at their gates. The devil should be trembling. All the spirits of Racine. Oh, man, watch out for that apostolic faith church, boy. They have on the whole armor of God. Amen. They still sitteth and they still clappeth and they still jumpeth. But now they're going to warreth and they're going to try to do more for God this year than they did last year. Don't just play defense, offense. Yeah, some years ago I was preaching out in the Northwest, and we had been out there for 3 months, and I had one more revival left, and we were driving, and so I put Sister Mackie on a plane to fly her home to save the 1,800 miles it was. So I said, Judy, listen, you just fly home. We've been out here for 3 months and haven't stopped. So I said, when this revival's over, I'm just going to get in the car. I'm going to drive straight home. Stop at McDonald's, eat some of those health food meals, and just get home. So I put her on the plane in Boise, Idaho, went to this revival. I go to the door. I knock on the door. And this little five-year-old boy answers the door. I said, I'm Brother Mackey. We're here to preach revival. And the little boy said, you're going to sleep in my bed. I said, that's so nice. I said, I was a preacher's kid, and I gave up my bed all the time. All right. And here comes his sister, who's 13. He says, Brother Mackey, listen, my mom's working, and my dad's running errands, and they told us you were going to be coming, so I just want to bring you in. You know, and you can make yourself at home and get your stuff unpacked, okay? I said, okay. So as soon as I walked in the house, it was obvious to me that they had pets, many pets, that they never got outside because my eyes started watering, you know? So I go down the hall to this little 10 by 10 youth room. And, you know, I've been in the Amazon jungle. I saw more flies in this little room than I saw in the Amazon jungle, really. And I walk in, and there's dried dog doo-doo and fresh dog doo-doo all over the carpet. And she said, Brother Mackey, just tell me if you need anything. I do. I need some things. I said, and listen, when you're there, it's not funny. Okay, it really isn't. Okay. I said, I need a fan. I need a fly swatter. I need some paper towel. I need some Lysol. All right. Really? I said, yeah. Could you get me those things, please? Okay. So she gives me the fly swatter, and I close the door. That's the first time in my life I ever kept track of how many flies I killed. I mean, you know the flies, they have two eyes, but each eye has 1,000 lenses. That's why they can see you from every angle. I killed 27 flies in that room. Okay. So then I opened up the window, put the fan on the exhaust to take the old aroma out of that room. And then I picked up all the dog doo-doo, and I moved the dresser and picked up some more, moved the bed, picked up some more. All right, I vacuumed the carpet, washed everything down with Lysol, got my clothes unpacked, and I'm waiting. And then here comes the pastor's wife. And she's a nurse in her nice white uniform and shoes. And I admit, I was surprised. She's a nurse? You know, because here's this house, you know. And then here comes the pastor. And they said, Brother Mackey, do you like to eat after church? I said, well, not so much. It all depends. But I said, I do like popcorn. They said, we love popcorn. I said, okay. But they set the table for dinner. And they had three cats, and they had open abscess sores on their forehead. And they were walking on the kitchen table, licking the butter dish, and walking across the plates. And I'm sitting in amazement. So we come home. So we come home from church. And they make popcorn with butter, and the kids are petting the cats, then putting their hands in the pop. I said, you know what? I've driven a long ways today. I'm really tired. I don't feel like having anything tonight. So I go to the bedroom because I had the door shut and the carpet looked clean and everything looked decent. And I'm only 5'8", but the youth bed's only 5 foot, you know, but which is fine. So I get ready for bed and I pull back the covers, and the sheets were clean, but there was Star Wars sheets and Mickey Mouse pillowcases. Okay. So I shut off the light, and I go to bed, and I'm looking at Mickey Mouse through the corner of my eye, you know. And do you know what? Know who came and talked to me? The Wicked One came and talked to me. And he brought up my senior year in high school, when I graduated in the top 10 of my class, and I had a full-paid scholarship to the University of Minnesota. And there was a man on the scholarship board who's an attorney. And he just took a liking to me. He said, really, Jonathan, I don't know what you're going to do. But he said, listen, he said, we have a wonderful law firm. It's not the criminal stuff. It's all legal stuff, corporate attorney. And he told me how much money I would have in 7 years. And I'm looking at Mickey Mouse under Star Wars. And the wicked one came and said, ha! You could have been a corporate attorney with your Porsche automobile, the Rolex on your arm, and your tailor-made suits, But what are you doing? You're sleeping on Star Wars sheets and Mickey Mouse pillowcases. How, you are really an idiot. I said, ah, get out of here, devil. But he came back again. Because in my senior year in high school, I was accepted to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Senator Hubert Humphrey wrote my letter, and I remember walking in to talk to the guidance counselor. I said, listen, I said, I'm not going to go to the Air Force Academy. He said, Jonathan, how can you do that? I said, I already called Senator Humphrey. I said, you know what? I said, I really feel a call to work for God. But anyway, so that's, folks, now this didn't happen a split second. I mean, we're talking minutes here. And the enemy comes back and said, ha, you could be a full bird colonel in the Air Force, but you're sleeping on Star Wars sheets and Mickey Mouse pillowcases. I found out you cannot even take off the armor when you go to bed. So I got up and I turned on the light and checked the floor before I kneeled down, all right? And I kneeled down and I talked to the wicked one. I said, listen, devil, you know me. I don't care if there's 100, 1,000, or 1 in that congregation. I said, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me, and I'm going to preach my heart out, because every time in the pulpit I have an audience of 1, and he's the 1, not you. I want to please him. And I said, listen, devil. I said, there's 7 people in this little home missions church that need the Holy Ghost. So I said, devil, you want to fight? I said, now keep track of the services, because all 7 are going to have the Holy Ghost by Sunday night. Are you ready, devil? So the next night, God filled 2 people with the Holy Ghost. I came home, didn't eat any popcorn, though. But I got to bed and pulled back the Star Wars sheets and the Mickey Mouse pillowcases. I said, hey, devil. Hey, devil, where are you? Were you at service tonight? I mean, did you hear those people talk in tongues? Wasn't that great? The next night, 1 more received it. The next night, 1 more received it. All right. Sunday morning, 2 more received it. All 7 received the Holy Ghost that week. Listen, if he fights, fight back. If he kicks, kick back. Whatever you do, use the word of God. Speak to the enemy of your soul. Speak to the enemy of the church. Hallelujah. Because if we're just running with the footmen right now, everybody, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be a swelling of Jordan. I don't know how soon Jesus is coming, but folks, if there was ever a time to get prepared, I can't remember if there's going to be bold, be strong. I can't remember the words, but anyway. But yeah, be bold, be strong. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Even after all the armor, know what John writes? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's clap our hands for victory for a minute. Shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I mean it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to sing, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now listen, I wish God could touch your eyes tonight. Yeah, there's some nice carpeted stairs, some artificial flowers, some, you know. But listen, right here, there's a whole bunch of shields of faith laying here. Here's some swords. There's some helmets. Here's some breastplates. Take it. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may stand in the evil day. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish everyone would leave here with a soldier mentality. Lord, I want to endure hardness as a good soldier. Lord, I want to add to the kingdom. God, I want to fight. Folks, because I don't know, evil just does not take a holiday, but God gives you what you need to win the battle. Do you have it? What? Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, it blew into the upper room and baptized all of them. Oh, with a power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Oh, greater is he that is in. Do you believe it? Greater is he. Oh, that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan, like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, he's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. And many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming power. So greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right now, I want us all to raise our hands and talk to the commander-in-chief. I mean, folks, we've been here before. Jesus, I want to take the whole armor. I want to put it on. Jesus, let victory be real to me, my spirit. Hallelujah, take away fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I just don't want to play defense. God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Put on the whole armor. Put it on, put it on. Take unto you the whole armor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Every new convert, every saint of many years, hallelujah, God give us a soldier mentality, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know God's got an army marching through the land. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that... Let it be more than just a song. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in, I believe it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, Satan, like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, and seeking who may devour, the Bible tells me so. And many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour, but God has promised us today his overcoming power. So greater is he that is in me. I believe it. In me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. 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 The prophet in the Old Testament said, the prophet said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Folks, what would happen in our churches if we'd put on the whole armor, get a soldier mentality, amen, to really warreth? What am I doing to warreth, God? What am I doing to warreth? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm a tongue.